97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas and welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here along with Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Hi.
Looking forward to, of course, the holidays and talking about some great ways a little later in the show today that you can reach out and help the people whose holiday might not be so great because of those tragic storms that moved only not only through the St. Louis area, but of course down in Kentucky and devastated that community down there. So we're going to get to that a little later in the show.
Yeah, the crazy thing is one guy that we're going to talk to, dear friend of mine, he was on Fox Network News the other morning. And to talk about what's going on in Mayfield.
Right.
It's amazing. But you know what? As we get into the show, Mark, I just want to ask you, do you ever fall into the trap where you say, honey, what do you want for Christmas? And your wife's like, I don't want anything.
Don't get me anything.
Does that ever happen in your house?
No.
Oh, what is
she? No, we worked out something a long time ago. You know, because if you know what you want, tell me. Maybe I'll try to get something a little extra that's a surprise, but
yeah.
I want to know what you want so you get what you want for Christmas. And she's usually pretty good about that.
And?
Yeah. AirPods this year.
That's easy.
She wanted some replacement AirPods, and
now,
we AirPod took care of that.
Pros?
No. Just regular old AirPods.
Why wouldn't you get the Pros, though?
They're smaller.
They're more expensive.
Uh-huh.
Not what she wanted.
Okay.
She was very clear.
She didn't say Pros.
Okay,
she said...
Okay.
AirPods.
Fail.
I ask, and that's what has. So my shopping was pretty easy. Fortunately, she takes care of usually finding out what the kids want.
Right.
So I participate in that monetarily, but not always in person. So
you have
fine.
To buy one present, and that's it. And she takes care of everything
couple.
Else.
I'll buy a couple.
I'll
of
tell
presents.
You what. We hammered it out. We have a new feature on St. Louis Talks called the Husband's Meeting.
Yeah.
And and we hammered out. If
and Carol tells you what to do.
No, she's a fly on the wall. She gets to listen in. She interjects.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise.
What?
But she listens in. Her husband was actually on our very first husband's meeting.
Oh, nice.
Still looking for an actual gavel so I can hold court. But we found out that if men were in charge of Christmas, it just would be a lot different.
It would be. So many things would be a lot different.
Pajamas all day.
Mm-hmm.
Price limit on shopping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else you got? Yeah. What else you got?
Well, yeah. I mean,
steak instead of ham.
Sure. That sounds good to me. Barbecue on Christmas Day.
A little ribeye action, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But my first one was pajamas, which double as Eaton pants. you laugh.
Eaton pants.
You're not kidding, are you?
No, I'm not. Because, see, my wife and I, we have no family around, so it's a two-people party all day.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
You know, but do you bounce around to a lot of different homes on Christmas?
Usually just to the you know, the brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house at
That's
some
not
point
terrible.
During the day, you know? And now that we have a grandchild who's only 6 months and won't really... and appreciate what's going on this year. A year from now, he will. That will eventually become part of our routine, I'm sure, going over there in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
To see the joy on his face.
That's going to be the best.
But that's about a year away. So.
Yeah. You got a little time to pad. Well, mm-hmm. Well, I wish you all luck in your husband shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Although you're done, right? I guess you're done?
I'm almost done.
He bought one. He's got to buy the other
extra.
One.
Yeah, I only bought one pod. Now I got to go get the other. I'm just kidding.
I walk through the store and my head is like full of blubber. I'm like, I have no idea this year. Although my wife recently had dental work done. So she says I got her a crown for Christmas.
Aww.
Well, as we'll talk about later, we will have some good 2A shopping suggestions for you, won't mm-hmm. we?
For the women to shop for
Thank
the
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. There's a good, if there's a somebody who loves the shooting sports in your life, we've got a segment coming up you don't want to miss.
Yeah, absolutely. I did have one note here about a story from Associated Press about the guns are now going to be allowed in cars on University of Missouri campuses. So if we have time to speak about this, just real quick, my concern was the headline, guns will be allowed in cars on University of Missouri campuses. That is a problem because as we've learned, thieves go out to the county or whatever, they're going into the cars and getting, by chance, sometimes guns. Do you not agree?
Well, I don't disagree, but I think the bigger story here is a University of Missouri professor sued over this because he wasn't allowed. He was a concealed carry holder,
yep.
But he wasn't allowed to carry his weapon on the campus, even though he was an employee. So when he got to campus, he locked it in a lockbox in his car. But he sued because that was also illegal. So he won a court battle that allowed employees to lock their firearms in their car, not laying out on the seat, but in a lockbox, secure in the car.
Because the students could. They needed to broaden the law.
Well, the students still couldn't. But the point is if, like, what, say, for example, if I drove to the University of Missouri to see my child who went to school there, I can't carry my weapon on the campus. I would need to be able to lock it in my car. And under their current rules, that was illegal, too.
Sure.
Now, I don't know how they would have ever caught you. That's the other. They're not going through cars looking for guns,
and,
right?
And unless you don't get out of hand, how would they find out? Because the word conceal is part of
right.
the CCW.
And they mm-hmm. would have never have known. So, and maybe that happened, maybe didn't. I'm not admitting anything. But no. the point is that here's what they miss about all this. You can't fix stupid. Laws don't fix stupid. If you are a responsible gun owner, and most of the people I know are, all of them are, so far as I know, you don't put your gun somewhere in your car unless it's locked up and inaccessible to somebody that might decide to pilfer for loose change. It's in a lockbox. Unless they come equipped with the right kind of tools, they're not getting in that lockbox.
Even if they steal your car.
And it's secured to the base of your seat or, in my Denali, it's got the little steel hooks in the back end of it, and you hook the wire through that, and it's secured.
Right.
The point is, it's secured. So I thought this was much ado about nothing. I heard some other folks complaining about, well, this is crazy. We're putting more guns into the community. No, we're not.
Yeah, we're encouraging more guns on school properties, or in this case, a college.
No, so overblown.
You know, the whole thing comes down to, from what we've seen at Oxford High School, it's about responsibility. And the laws that are against the law-abiding Second Amendment supporters and gun owners does not affect the crime at all. It can only hurt if it's going to suppress you from being able to protect yourself.
Because only law-abiding citizens follow the law, and criminals ignore it to begin with, and it's like a circular argument. It drives me crazy listening to it. I will mention very quickly, also in the headlines this week, in the state of New Jersey, the legislature up there passed, and they've got a Democrat governor, so my assumption is he'll sign it, a law that will register all ammunition sales. Like, when you go in to buy ammunition, you'll have to basically, your name will be put in a register.
Wow.
In the state of, this is why the Supreme Court has got to act and update Heller and make it clear to these states that we're not going to put up with a registry. We have a constitutional right to keep and bear arms, and you're not going to create some false tracking method of how many of 9mm rounds that I have
right. Just
because you want some back door into subverting my rights. The Supreme Court's got to step in.
Here's the quandary that I have with my father, who lives in New Jersey. He has been trying to find a place here, and the inventory of homes out here that he wants a couple of acres, he wants a ranch home, because he's got bad knees, and he wants an outbuilding so he can put, he is dying to get here, and he just can't get out of New Jersey. It's like he's almost being held hostage. Every day I talk to him, I've been on Zillow, been looking, because we are blessed here in the Midwest in the state of Missouri for the Second Amendment laws that we have. In my opinion, I think we're very lucky.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Talking about suppressing people, I'm going to talk about some big news about suppressors on your firearms. This is really exciting for anybody that's investigated the idea of wanting to get one. I don't have one myself.
I've looked into it, but it's been the hassle of it that has stopped me in the past.
Absolutely.
Because it's time-consuming. It may take you the better part of a year between the date you purchase it and when you can actually take control of it, which is silly. Because a suppressor in and of itself doesn't hurt anyone.
And that is what we are going to talk about next with Jesse Rolfe from Razorback Armory. It's coming up next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Stay right there. hopefully everybody's got their Christmas shopping done or getting their Christmas shopping done. It's Mark and Bo and Carl and
pew, pew.
Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. This segment is brought to you by, shockingly, Razorback Armory. Their website is a great place to start to learn about them if you've never been. They are a true gun concierge, and they're right on Manchester Road in De Pere, just a half mile east of 270. They do a great job. I was just in there buying two holsters a couple of weeks ago, and we had the opportunity to actually request Jesse come in and join us. So guess what? Jesse Rolfe from Razorback Armory is here. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. How are y'all doing today?
Yeah, good. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
A little crazy Christmas shopping going on?
It's good. We're definitely seeing a little spike there. Some stocking stuffer purchases, gift cards, everything. People kind of getting out there, getting in the spirit.
For the people that are shopping for somebody that is a supporter of the Second Amendment, they collect guns, whatever, a gift certificate is probably the best way to go, yeah?
Definitely. So it's hard to buy a gun for somebody unless you know exactly the gun they want, everything.
My wife did.
Yeah, and that's...
Try it, honey. Go ahead and try it.
No, she got me a judge, yeah, dude. She got me a judge. Awesome. The original.
And that's one way of doing it. If you know that they have... Like, a lot of people come in and say, hey, my husband or my... fiance, boyfriend has this gun, or my girlfriend has this gun, yeah. And you know what's a good thing to accompany that or do something with it. So we can point you towards some products with that. But then also, if you buy them a gift card, obviously it's not as personal or anything. And we're actually doing a promotion where you buy the gift card and then you buy a nice tumbler and put it in that, so it doesn't look like you just bought a
nice
car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so that way they can purchase what they want for their gun, and yep, it's still, you're still giving them the gift and you're still getting them something from us. So.
A few years ago, probably the biggest surprise I've ever received from my wife. She had observed me admiring a concealed carry gun that my brother-in-law had. And, you know, I'd like, that's going to be my next purchase. I'm going from this 380 up to this 9mm. That's beautiful. I got to get one of those. I get this box under the tree at Christmas. No idea. I open it up, and I immediately, when I grabbed it, I could tell it was one of those hard-sided plastic boxes, mm-hmm, right? And sure enough, I hope it's a nice Sig Sauer 938.
Whoa,
and
nice.
It blew me away. I'm like, how did you... She took her brother with her, right? Because she knew exactly what I wanted, exactly what he had. So that helped, right? Made a big
absolutely,
difference, but
absolutely,
it was a huge surprise.
And that's a good woman.
That was a good woman. Yeah, exactly.
But one of the main reasons that I wanted to talk to you was because as the world continues to turn, there are some changes going on. You're a big proponent of suppressors.
Absolutely.
And the big fear for a lot of people, I come in and you say, well, it could be a year before you get the permit to buy that suppressor, and that may be about to change, correct?
That's what we're actually, as we're recording this right now, by the time you hear it on Saturday or Sunday, depending on where it is, on Monday, everything changes. So the federal government is changing what's called e-forms. So right now, dealer to dealer, we do e-forms all the time. That's how I get a product from a wholesaler, from a manufacturer. And the Form 4, which is the filed form, which is a tax paid transfer form on how you get a suppressor, a machine gun, short barrel rifle, short barrel shotgun. We do that digitally in shop. That's our concierge service. We get everything for you, you know, one stop. But that's actually printed and then mailed in, and then that's paper filed through the process. That process right now, 10 to 12 months. You come in, 10 to 12 months from now, I'm delivering your suppressor. We're gonna actually now do that completely digitally, okay, starting Monday. How long it's going to take? Is there going to be some razor's bleeding edge? Yes, absolutely. I'd put money on it. It's a government interface to a computer, but we're going to work through it. We've prepared for this. We know there's going to be some pitfalls. We know that we're going to stumble. We're going to get that. You know, we wait to see the problem. We fix the problem. We keep going. But in the long run, their goal is 90 days. Their goal is to get this from 10 to 12 months to 90 days. The good part about that for me is we're going to be selling a ton more suppression and anything to do with NFA. The bad part is the industry, we saw this coming, but we never believed it was going to happen. And it was kind of always, is like a rumor. It's a Kaiser Sosa. It's something that's there, but it's never there.
Yeah. It's the carrot
now
out front.
Now that it's here, the industry is not ready for this as far as how many suppressors are in the pipeline. Because they manufacture, like anything else, you manufacture to what you're selling. You're moving 10 units, you're making 12, you might have a little surplus. You're not moving 10, and the next day you sell 300.
Yes.
And there's no way to catch up. Plus, us. You guys might not have seen this, but there's a supply chain problem with different precious metals.
And yeah.
It's kind of a rumor. Yeah.
That's a rumor, I think.
So now that that's really going to take effect, we're going to see that. That's going to probably, we're going to overwhelm the government with files. And then
crash the system.
We're not going to have the unit. Now, the problem is people are like, oh, well, just sell me one. I'll take it when it comes in. For your Form 4 to process, I need the actual suppressor. I need the serial number. Everything's done on that per unit. So we wouldn't be able to get your file in because I don't have a serial number.
So you have to write out the form to submit with the actual serial number of that item.
Of that particular item.
How many suppressors are made outside the U.S.?
So none. Well, there are suppressors made outside the U.S. We sell all U.S.-made suppressors.
There are
some imported suppressors, but it is below 1% of the industry.
Okay.
So, Jesse, let me ask a dumb question. You have to have that suppressor in hand to file the application for the stamp.
Yep.
Right. So in other words, the 10-month wait is this thing's in your safe until approval comes back from the government or however long it takes in order to hand it over. But the sale has already been made at that point?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
So how that process works, you come in to purchase a suppressor from me. We have a conversation. We find out what you need. We sell you that suppressor. That physical suppressor is kept at Razorback Armory, locked up. We have a whole system of keeping track of all that for the 10 to 12 months. The beauty of being the largest suppressor dealer in Missouri is the curse of being the largest suppressor dealer in Missouri. At any given time, I'm sitting on 400 to 450 suppressors in a processing circle of they come in, they move down, you know, as the months go on, and then we deliver out.
Wow.
That's good. So, just to throw it out there, what's the general, because you've got the tax stamp is $200, right?
Correct.
And that's the application fee.
So, how it works, so you have your Form 4, which is a tax-paid application. You are literally, that $200 is buying a stamp, a physical stamp on the form.
Yeah.
Your forms all go in. So the Form 4 is accompanied with what's called a LE notifier. So the local law enforcement is notified of your purchase. This is a change that happened about 4 years ago where you used to have to go, long form is you'd have to get these forms, you'd have to go, like say you live in St. Louis County, you'd have to get a signature from St. Louis County for them graciously allowing you to buy this.
That's nice.
And then you'd start processing on. Now it's called an LE notifier. You notify local law enforcement of your purchase. If they have any reason that you shouldn't have it, they have to contact ATF and say, hey, this person should not have a suppressor or any NFA item that you're applying for. From that, then that packet goes in. So you have fingerprints, photographs, LE notifier. Most of our clientele use what's called a trust. It makes purchase and or use of the suppressor after purchase a lot more user-friendly, if you will. Everyone asks me about trust on a daily basis. My A, B, and trust is this. Multiple people in possession of the asset. So you can use the asset, but if you're not there, anyone else on the trust can use the asset. So son, daughter, best friend, hunting buddy, whoever, if they're on the trust, they can legally use it. That is while you're alive. Nobody makes it out alive of this game, unfortunately.
No, that's
so
the truth.
Not
after
that I've heard.
Basically, once you've passed away, anyone on the trust can be in possession of the asset without going back to the federal government, without reapplying, without paying another $200 tax.
Sure.
So what we call is a single-shot trust in the industry that we use. It's about $24.95. It is the cheapest insurance you'll ever buy.
Love that.
And it allows you to make decisions with trust. Like right now, we like Bo. Bo's a good guy. And we'll put him on our trust. But let's say 2 weeks from now, we don't like Bo anymore. He's out there. So you can add and subtract individuals from your trust.
You
manage
this guy
your trust
pretty well, don't you?
We've known each other for quite some time.
I'm hanging on by a loose chad.
Yeah. But that's kind of the kind of in and out of that. Yeah.
So if you can, for those that have never even entertained the idea, have you ever owned a suppressor?
I do not. I've entertained the idea in the past. I've just never, because it's such a hassle, I've never gone to the
trouble.
Right. Take that away. I'll take all that hassle.
Appreciate
away.
90
days.
If they can hit the goal of 90 days to be able to get it in your hands, I think you'd do it because you have to wait longer than that to get a couch.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
It's true. Yeah. But let me ask this, Jesse, and maybe this is too politically sensitive for you, but I don't think so, knowing you as I do. Why do they make such a big deal over this? The movies have made suppressors into making them sound like they completely take away the sound from a gunshot. And I'm assuming that's why the government felt a need at some point years ago to have such tight control over them. Is it really, do you agree that it's necessary in any way?
So the most dangerous part of that whole application is what your wife bought you, the gun.
Thank you.
The suppressor does muffle the sound. It is not movie quiet. It's not like when it's people come in and we have this conversation about what they want. And I'm like, look, if you're expecting John Wick, you're going to be absolutely disappointed when you actually pull the trigger.
Even for a rifle.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does suppress the noise that is made by the weapon. For your hearing safety, for muzzle blast, concussion, all that, it really takes that away from it. So suppression as a whole, our full spiel is suppression as a whole eats 2/3 of recoil, okay? On a pistol or a 22 or even a 223, like an AR-style rifle, there's not much recoil. So that 2/3 of recoil doesn't really apply. The muzzle blast and concussion, that sound, that shockwave and everything leaving the end of the barrel. With the suppressor on, we contain that, we push everything forward, we control the exiting gases, and that's how we're suppressing it. That's the physics behind it.
Which is why you're calling it suppressor and not a silencer.
Yes, and nomenclature-wise, we accept both in the industry, but you were technically suppressing. We're not silencing the weapon, we're suppressing it. But if you went off of Hollywood, or if you went off the sensationalism of how a lot of political people will say, oh my gosh, you know, you put a suppressor on, and I'll be walking down the street, and the guy next to me will fall over dead, and we won't know why, because he was shot and no one heard it. That's not true. It's so far from the truth, it's not even close.
So do you need hearing protection if you are shooting? The sports shooting, mm-hmm. in real life, do you still need hearing protection with a suppressor on your firearm?
So when we go shooting, most of us, because we're all shooting suppressed, know we don't use hearing protection.
That's good. That's good.
The industry standard number is 140 decibels. Everyone says, oh, we're under 140, and under 140 should be hearing safe. But I do talk to people that everyone's ears can be a little more sensitive, less sensitive. So some people will still wear them. If you are on a range, though, and other people aren't shooting suppressed, sure. you still need hearing protection because you're safe from your weapon. Mm-hmm. Their weapon is still mm-hmm. loud.
Do you need to have the barrel threaded?
On some weapons, right now, current production weapons, a lot of them are already threaded from the factory or have a threaded option. If you do need your barrel threaded, pending on the weapon, that is an option. Some are a direct replacement. You pull the old one out, put a new one in.
Yeah, yeah.
Something I didn't realize that I learned from Jesse about a year and a half ago was that a suppressor for a 357 or a 9mm mm-hmm. can interchange with other weapons that are the same caliber, correct?
Yeah, so the suppressor itself is a standalone unit. So you're buying the suppressor. Let's say you're buying a 9mm suppressor. You can put that on different 9mm weapons.
Yeah.
The industry standard is if the projectile will fit through it, so it's smaller than the baffle size and the pressure. I get this a lot. People are like, I'm going to buy this 9mm pistol can. Well, my 223 is smaller than that, so I'm going to put it on my AR. No, you're not. You're going to blow it up because it's made for low-pressure pistol rounds. Okay. Now, there are cans, which are called like a hybrid, if you will, that can do rifle and can do pistol. You just have to be smaller in your projectile than the largest baffle size. So if you're shooting a 9mm, which is 0.356, okay, and it's a rifle-pressured can, which they make, you could shoot your AR through it or your 9mm or your 300 blackout. You know, in different settings. And then your mounting, how it mounts to the barrel, which is a direct thread. Some of them are what's called QD, where you can actually quick detach mount them.
Yeah.
And we basically, in the industry, what we call it, that's our shooting solution. We need to know your weapon. We need to know what you want to suppress. Then we look at that. We look at the suppressor. And then we look at the mounting solutions on how that's going to fit on your weapon. And then try to package all that together and give you the best shooting solution for that.
That's awesome. So ballpark price range out the door with the tax stamp and all that. I know it probably... So it really depends on the gun, right?
So it depends on the weapon. Your rimfire, you're going to figure about $250 to $400 is your rimfire cans. That's your 22s.
Right.
And that has to do with what they're made out of, aluminum or stainless, titanium. That's your companies, your different manufacturers. And your pistol, centerfire pistol, be it 9, 40, 45. You're in that range. You're going to be about $500 to, I mean, I have $1,000 ones, but they're carbon graphite. I mean, they're fancier necessarily than they need to be, but if you want that look, if you want that, it's mm-hmm. not really going to do anything different in performance. And then your rifle cans. Rifle cans can start in that $300 to $400 range, and I have them to several thousand. I would say the median is that $700 to $1,000.
Okay.
And that's just your suppressor. Your fixed fees on top of that are your tax stamp. If you buy a $200 can or you buy a $2,000 can, your tax stamp's still $200.
Okay. Yeah. There's a myth.
Good to know.
That you don't have to spend all that money. You can use a 2-liter bottle. Talk to me about that.
So you've been to prison. Okay. All right, felonies. I like this. So that myth,
no, I have not, for the record.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to have to pull his jacket.
Bo's got friends in low places.
There's a ton of stuff out there, and the internet is a great place, but the internet's also a bad place.
I've heard.
That you can find these things in the homemade suppressors and different things. And people ask me every day, is it legal to make my own suppressor? Yes. The Form 1, which is on the digital files that we talked about, you can actually apply to manufacture a suppressor. I will tell you, unless you have an engineering degree, CNC lathe, and some really good, you know, components to build that, it's a lot cheaper and a lot more cost-effective to just buy the suppressor. And you get the factory support from the initial manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be a lot easier.
What are the other things that people have used to try and suppress? 2-liter bottle, though, right? You've seen that on the internet?
I've seen that. I may have, may not have seen some people with some PVC pipe and things, but
potato
oil filters and stuff. But all of those.
Yeah,
things,
no, I saw the oil filter one. Yeah,
all of those are absolutely illegal, and you're committing a federal crime.
I've seen it on the internet.
Don't do
yes,
that.
Yes, the standpoint of Razorback Armory is do not try this at home. Yeah. Unless you're with Bo.
No. I see stuff. That's yes. All. Okay. Are you good?
Good. Fascinating discussion,
no
Jesse.
Problem.
Thank
Anything
you, because
you.
I've always wondered. I've thought about it a couple times and then thought, I don't want to wait 10 or 11 months. What a hassle.
Right.
The other beauty of what we do is called our concierge service. Bo says it all the time.
Yeah.
When you come in, we have that conversation. I personally, because I do all the suppression. We do everything for you in shop. I'm going to do your photograph, your fingerprints, your LE notifier. I'm going to set up your account. If you have an account, I'm going to review it. Because my theory in this is I want to fix everything today. I don't want to fix it 10 months from now when the government says, hey, you didn't do this right. You didn't do this right.
Yeah.
So that it's a nice, smooth transition. The hardest part about it is the wait, and we can't fix that. Hopefully, we are going to be fixing that soon with the federal government. We're going to chop that down significantly.
That's great. Good. Great news. All right. For more information about Jesse and his crew at Razorback Armory, simply start out at RazorbackArmory.com. Stop in and see him. Still got a few days to go Christmas shopping if that's what you're wanting to do. But, Jess, thanks for coming downtown to join us on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
No problem, guys. I appreciate being in. You guys have a great Christmas, great New Year.
We will. And, we've all seen the tragedy that happened down in Kentucky from those tornadoes. Coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, we're going to tell you how you can chip in and help out those kids to make sure that they still have some Christmas presents to open on Christmas Day. We'll be right back.
Other part of the world, people are getting ready for Christmas time and shopping and hustling and bustling, but there are a couple of areas, even in our neighborhood, Edwardsville, people are still reeling from the storms that rolled through last Friday night, and it was horrifying. And when I woke up Saturday morning and heard that Mayfield, Kentucky got hit, I have dear friends. I've known this man for 30 years. Matter of fact, I used to do an overnight trucker show on WIL, right, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was doing a trucker show out of Mayfield, Kentucky. We would talk to the Truckin' Bozo out of Indianapolis, and we became the dearest of friends, like brothers, actually. Kirk Willie and the Willie family is in Mayfield. Kirk, this is the first time I'm talking to you, but how are you, man? You doing okay?
We're surviving at the lowest means, but we are surviving.
I will describe Mayfield as, if you picture Back to the Future Town Square, that's the beautiful little town of Mayfield. And Kirk was actually on Fox News this week, and I didn't see the clip of you there, but as a pillar of the community and the church, what are you doing for the community at this point? Because all family and everybody's accounted for in your group, right?
Yes, correct. My family, our houses, the farm, all that's good. We were very blessed with that. So a lot of people very near to, you know, close to me, within a tenth of a mile from my house is where the candle factory was. So it really just missed us by feet. What I'm trying to do is I've made friends over the last 30 years touring on the road with people all over the United States. And they're all reaching out. Larry Ward from Florida has a concert staging company. He has sent, I think, 8 trucks from Florida up here with supplies, blankets, and anything that, you know, he can get people to help bring over. There's a box truck coming in today with 700 more blankets in it. And then I've reached out to other people that I know down in Houston at Mattress Max. They're sending four semis of some mattresses, but just supplies of things that we need immediate right now. Got some coming from Annapolis, Maryland. So when I say it's coming from all over the country, it literally is.
Kirk, you know, Mark Cox here. Thoughts and prayers go out to you guys down there. I've got relatives that live in other parts of the state, and they've been affected in the past, not this time, fortunately. We've heard the expected death toll, which is devastating. But how many people are displaced right now and in shelters and looking for just somewhere to go to get out of the cold?
We don't have an exact number. I was talking with the sheriff a couple of days ago, and what we're seeing is we have one shelter down in Wingo that had 130 different people in it, and then we've seen some other shelters. But I'm going to say the number is going to be in the thousands that are homeless, that don't have a roof left or windows or no place to go at all. We're going to start seeing more of that number come into where we'll know what it is. But there is so many people out in the county that have not even come out of their house yet.
Oh, my. And hey, Kirk, how many people is the population? What's the population side of Mayfield, Kentucky?
Around 11,000.
Yeah, so that's how small of a town.
In the city.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. It's, you know, the county is the largest county in Kentucky. So, you know, and there's... the city was damaged a lot, but a lot of the counties were too. And, you know, these people live, you know, 10 miles outside of anything that's close to a Walmart. Well, most of them, you know, we're hearing trees fell on their cars. Their roof's gone. Their windows are gone. They don't have any electricity or water. Their insulin is running because they don't have a place to put it. They can't get out of there to come tell us.
Right, right. You know, Kirk has spent a lot of years on the road, and he actually is the current road manager and sound engineer for John Michael Montgomery. Had, you know, 30 number ones in the 90s, still going out there. I was just curious, did John or Eddie reach out to you directly?
Yes, they both have. The afternoon of the storms, and pretty much every day, both of them have texted me, checking on me.
Yeah.
After the Fox News interview yesterday, both texted me, yeah, I did good. And then we are working on a concert, which I knew you knew that was going to happen.
Of course. It better happen.
Eddie and John want to do something along with Walker and Travis Denning. Larry Stewart's from Kentucky. He's from Paducah, from close to me.
Oh, wow.
Tim Ruslow, Richie McDonald, Steve Warner, Ricky Skaggs, they're all reaching out, Kentucky boys, saying we need to get something going, not right now, but maybe January.
Sure, sure.
And we're going to work through Michael Jordan over at iHeart. You know, he runs the whole iHeart thing, and he's a good dear friend of ours. And we're going to kind of let him help us put it together.
Well, I'm sure that the turnout and the amount of money that you guys have raised will just be amazing. And you know, Kirk, I saw the president down there this week as well, and they promised lots of federal help. Have you seen that on the ground yet?
I've seen a lot of FEMA trucks here, yes. And they have a big station set up across town. And I know those trucks are going out to houses and checking on people.
Good.
Okay. Well, that's a start. Well, I will tell you. Go ahead.
In my personal opinion, whether I'm Republican or Democrat, don't matter, but I kind of wish the president would have waited, but, you know, because it halted everything for a day.
You know what? I said that same thing. I said the resources for that to happen is going to take the attention off what is happening right now. I mean, it's still smoking. The fire's not out completely.
Yes.
We got people to find. And I said that thing. But, you know, whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen.
I will say, if he can help us get more money by him having boots on the ground here,
yeah,
and help us get this place rebuilt quicker for him coming, then yeah, it was worth them coming, you know.
See, you know, this show that you're on right now is called Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and sadly, a lot of people are in the outdoors, not by their choice, but by this storm. But this is how, this is why, and you'll start to see the corrupt people try to come to town and go, you know, hey, this is available, I can steal this or whatever. This is why Second Amendment is so important in our country, to be able to protect your family and yourself. Would you agree, Kirk?
Oh, 100%, yes. And I think people are noticing that how the Kentucky, it don't matter what you're voted down here in Kentucky, everybody's working side by side down here. And it don't matter if you're a Church of Christ or a Baptist or a Catholic, they're working side by side and they're loving each other down here.
Yeah.
So someone coined the phrase on Facebook, and I love it, Kentucky's showing the world how to love.
Oh, wow. I love that. Great. Kirk, stay strong. Merry Christmas. I'll keep you in my prayers. Tell Ma and them, everybody, I said hello. And actually, I will tell you that here in St. Louis, the Budweiser Guns and Hoses organization is actually doing a toy drive for the children of Kentucky. So that truck will be headed out Sunday or Monday, and we'll have more details as that happens. But we're going to talk to the organizer of that coming up next. Kirk, I will talk to you soon, my brother.
Yes. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you for the work you're doing.
All right.
You bet. Thank you, Kirk.
Scary stuff.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Kirk. Thanks. I'll be in touch, man.
All right, brother. Love you.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. And right now on the phone, we've got Megan Myers, who is really, really pushing hard. And I would love to know, Megan, how this toy drive came up for the children of Kentucky. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, by the way.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. The other day I was at a luncheon with some fellow Guns N' Hoses teammates, and we were sitting there just talking about how the holidays were approaching, and I just said, you know, I'm not looking forward to this, just knowing how many people were left without nothing, and ideas started flying across the table, and what can we do? And a couple days later, here we are with a toy drive.
Well, I mean, I think it's great. Here we are mostly, and obviously I know what happened in Edwardsville. I know what happened in Defiance. We had people here in town, but in such small numbers compared to what happened in down in Kentucky. And
absolutely,
those poor, I mean, the devastation was complete. I mean, the entire neighborhoods, homes, everything, all their belongings gone a week and a half before Christmas. This is something, Megan, truly, that can restore maybe some joy to the lives of some of these kids that right now have lost everything.
That's our hope. We've also reached out to officials in Edwardsville to see if we could drop items off there as well. And we're going to do that next week on our way to Kentucky to drop off. And the police station is going to distribute them throughout the community.
Oh, that's great.
Well, we just talked to my dear friend of many years, Kirk Willie. You know, in any other part of the world, people are getting ready for Christmas time and shopping and hustling and bustling. But there are a couple of areas, even in our neighborhood, Edwardsville, people are still reeling from the storms that rolled through last Friday night. And it was horrifying. And when I woke up Saturday morning and heard that Mayfield, Kentucky got hit, I have dear friends. I've known this man for 30 years. Matter of fact, I used to do an overnight trucker show on WIL, right, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was doing a trucker show out of Mayfield, Kentucky. We would talk to the trucking bozo out of Indianapolis, and we became the dearest of friends, like brothers, actually. Kirk Willie and the Willie family is in Mayfield. Kirk, this is the first time I'm talking to you, but how are you, man? You doing okay?
We're surviving at the lowest means, but we are surviving.
I will describe Mayfield as, if you picture Back to the Future Town Square, that's the beautiful little town of Mayfield. And Kirk was actually on Fox News this week, and I didn't see the clip of you there, but as a pillar of the community and the church, what are you doing for the community at this point? Because all family and everybody's accounted for in your group, right?
Yes, correct. My family, our houses, the farm, all that's good. We were very blessed with that. So a lot of people very near to, you know, close to me, within a tenth of a mile from my house is where the candle factory was. So it really just missed us by feet. What I'm trying to do is, I've made friends over the last 30 years touring on the road with people all over the United States, and they're all reaching out. Larry Ward from Florida has a concert staging company. He has sent, I think, 8 trucks from Florida up here with supplies, blankets, and anything that, you know, he can get people to help bring over. There's a box truck coming in today with 700 more blankets in it. And then I've reached out to other people that I know down in Houston at Mattress Max. They're sending 4 semis of some mattresses, but just supplies of things that we need immediate right now. Got some coming from Annapolis, Maryland. So when I say it's coming from all over the country, it literally is.
Kirk, you know, Mark Cox here. Thoughts and prayers go out to you guys down there. I've got relatives that live in other parts of the state, and they've been affected in the past, not this time, fortunately. We've heard the expected death toll, which is devastating, but how many people are displaced right now and in shelters and looking for just somewhere to go to get out of the cold?
We don't have an exact number. I was talking with the sheriff a couple of days ago, and what we're seeing is we have one shelter down in Wingo that had 130 different people in it, and then we've seen some other shelters. But I'm going to say the number is going to be in the thousands that are homeless, that don't have a roof left or windows or no place to go at all. We're going to start seeing more of that number coming to where we'll know what it is. But there is so many people out in the county that have not even come out of their house yet.
Oh, my. And hey, Kirk, how many people is the population? What's the population size of Mayfield, Kentucky?
Around 11,000.
Yeah, so that's how small of a town.
In the city.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. It's, you know, the county is the largest county in Kentucky. So, you know, and there's... The city was damaged a lot, but a lot of counties were too. And, you know, these people live, you know, 10 miles outside of anything that's close to a Walmart. Well, most of them, you know, we're hearing trees fell on their cars. Their roof's gone. Their windows are gone. They don't have any electricity or water. Their insulin is running because they don't have a place to put it. They can't get out of there to come tell us.
Right, right. You know, Kirk has spent a lot of years on the road, and he actually is the current road manager and sound engineer for John Michael Montgomery. Had, you know, 30 number ones in the 90s, still going out there. I was just curious, did John or Eddie reach out to you directly?
They both have. The afternoon of the storms, and pretty much every day, both of them have texted me, checking on me.
Yeah.
After the Fox News interview yesterday, both texted me, yeah, I did good. And then we are working on a concert, which I knew you knew that was going to happen.
Of course. It better happen.
Eddie and John want to do something along with Walker and Travis Denning. Larry Stewart's from Kentucky. He's from Paducah, from close to me.
Oh, wow.
Tim Ruslow, Richie McDonald, Steve Warner, Ricky Skaggs, they're all reaching out, Kentucky boys, saying we need to get something going, not right now, but maybe January.
Sure, sure.
And we're going to work through Michael Jordan over at iHeart. You know, he runs the whole iHeart thing, and he's a good dear friend of ours. And we're going to kind of let him help us put it together.
Well, I'm sure that the turnout and the amount of money that you guys have raised will just be amazing. And you know, Kirk, I saw the president down there this week as well, and they promised lots of federal help. Have you seen that on the ground yet?
I've seen a lot of FEMA trucks here, yes. And they have a big station set up across town. And I know those trucks are going out to houses and checking on people.
Good.
Okay. Well, that's a start. Well, I will tell you. Go ahead.
In my personal opinion, whether I'm Republican or Democrat don't matter, but I kind of wish the president would have waited, but, you know, because it halted everything for a day.
You know what? I said that same thing. I said the resources for that to happen is going to take the attention off what is happening right now. I mean, it's still smoking. The fire's not out completely. Yes. We got people to find. And I said that thing. But, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
I will say, if he can help us get more money by him having boots on the ground here,
yeah,
and help us get this place rebuilt quicker for him coming, then yeah, it was worth them coming, you know.
See, you know, this show that you're on right now is called Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and sadly, a lot of people are in the outdoors, not by their choice, but by this storm. But this is how, this is why, and you'll start to see the corrupt people try to come to town and go, you know, hey, this is available, I can steal this or whatever. This is why Second Amendment is so important in our country, to be able to protect your family and yourself. Would you agree, Kirk?
Oh, 100%, yes. And I think people are noticing that how the Kentucky, it don't matter what you're voted down here in Kentucky, everybody's working side by side down here. And it don't matter if you're a Church of Christ or a Baptist or a Catholic, they're working side by side and they're loving each other down here.
Yeah.
So someone coined the phrase on Facebook, and I love it, Kentucky's showing the world how to love.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Great.
Kirk, stay strong. Merry Christmas. I'll keep you in my prayers. Tell Ma and them, everybody, I said hello. And actually, I will tell you that here in St. Louis, the Budweiser Guns and Hoses organization is actually doing a toy drive for the children of Kentucky. So that truck will be headed out Sunday or Monday, and we'll have more details as that happens. But we're going to talk to the organizer of that coming up next. Kirk, I will talk to you soon, my brother.
Yes. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you for the work you're doing.
All right.
You bet. Thank you, Kirk.
Scary stuff.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Kirk. Thanks. I'll be in touch, man.
All right, brother. Love you.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. And right now on the phone, we've got Megan Myers, who is really, really pushing hard. And I would love to know, Megan, how this toy drive came up for the children of Kentucky. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, by the way.
In. Oh, well, thanks for having me. The other day I was at a luncheon with some fellow Guns N' Hoses teammates, and we were sitting there just talking about how the holidays were approaching, and I just said, you know, I'm not looking forward to this, just knowing how many people were left without nothing, and ideas started flying across the table, and what can we do? And a couple days later, here we are with a toy drive.
Well, I mean, I think it's great. Here we are mostly, and obviously I know what happened in Edwardsville. I know what happened in Defiance. We had people here in town, but in such small numbers compared to what happened in down in Kentucky. And
absolutely,
those poor, I mean, the devastation was complete. I mean, the entire neighborhoods, homes, everything, all their belongings gone a week and a half before Christmas. This is something, Megan, truly, that can restore maybe some joy to the lives of some of these kids that right now have lost everything.
That's our hope. We've also reached out to officials in Edwardsville to see if we could drop items off there as well. And we're going to do that next week on our way to Kentucky to drop off. And the police station is going to distribute them throughout the community.
Oh, that's great.
Well, we just talked to my dear friend of many years, Kirk Willie, down in Mayfield. His whole family lives there on the outskirts of town, and they're all accounted for. And he's with the church, and he's working with the government there locally. Not officially, but he's helping a lot. Who are you in contact with, and where are the toys going to down there? Do you have an end spot down there?
Oh. We don't know where our landing spot is exactly. I know Mayfield and in certain areas, they're overwhelmed. We're waiting to hear back from SEMA where our drop-off location exactly will be.
Oh, okay.
When we get in the truck and head down on Wednesday.
Well, I will share his information with you in case that helps.
That would be great.
Yeah, but let's talk about the toy drive itself. Where is it going on? How long is it going on? Just throw us out what you need.
So the toy drive is being hosted out of Munganass Honda, St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh, from 8 to 5 until Sunday, the 16th through the 19th. And we're just there collecting donations until Dave Munganass himself gets in the truck and drives it to our destination.
Wow, wow, that's fantastic. He's a stand-up guy for sure.
He insists it.
And you're looking for unwrapped toys, of course, but you're also
unwrapped
looking for gift cards as well.
Yes. Unwrapped toys and $25 gift cards.
Okay. I think that would be a good ask for, you know, any corporation, you know, because you can write off or a personal donation. You know, and I don't know if the 501(c) even comes into play here, but you know what? It doesn't matter. We need to help these people in Kentucky and in Edwardsville, and you're definitely a drop-off point in South County.
That's right.
Okay. And it goes till 5 each day. Is that correct?
Business. Correct.
Okay. And but I was curious, even on Sunday, which is the 19th, will there be the toy collection going? Because car dealers are normally closed on Sundays.
We will be there.
Okay. Megan Myers from Budweiser's Guns and Hoses, thank you for doing the heavy lifting for us in St. Louis. All we need to do is get people to come by Munganast St. Louis Honda down in South County, drop off as many toys as you can, and as you heard her say, Dave Munganast himself
yeah.
is making that trip.
Yeah,
is making
that.
That trip.
That's fantastic. Megan, thank you for all you're doing here, and the folks at Guns and Hoses as well.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Megan Myers, Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. Safe travels to Mr. Munganast. And that's about going to wrap it up.
Yeah, give if you can. You know, we just gave you the information where they're going to be. The fantastic effort. Makes me proud to be a St. Louis.
Absolutely. You can look up the information on Guns and Hoses Facebook page or the Bo Matthews page. Mark. Merry Christmas to you,
Merry
my friend.
Christmas.
Carl.
Hello, Carl.
Merry Christmas. We're off next week.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Enjoy. Well, enjoy your shopping, whatever you're doing this weekend. We'll see you next time around on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Merry Christmas.
Get more at 971talk.com.